right. Good morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. And looking forward to a good day in the house of the Lord. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Dear Father, we want to say that we love you. And God, I'm so glad that you love us and not only told us, but you demonstrated your love on the cross of Calvary. And God, we thank you for eternal salvation. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be in our hearts and lives here on earth. But God, I pray that you might bless today, that you might bless the reading and preaching of your word. God, thank you for Brother Korn and his ministry, and I pray that you might be with him. And God, give us a good day today. God, I pray that if there's any that are lost, God, that they might accept you as their personal Savior, and the cold-hearted be warmed, and the faithful be encouraged, and God, that you might meet with us today. Be with Brother Moyer and all of our Sunday school teachers as they impart the Word of God this morning. I pray for the whole day that you might bless it. Be with our remodel, God. Thank you for what we have got done. I pray that you might continue to be with us and help us to get it all done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, turn to page 55. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We'll sing all three verses of this one this morning.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the last, let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all the life is over and the work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Thank you. May be seated. What language is yonder? That's Texan. I'll see you later. Yonder. Where's that store? It's yonder over there. Anyway, all right, page 198. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We'll sing 1, 3, and 4 of this one this morning, page 198.
I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the hap has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see his smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory all the half has never yet been told. Lift up on the last. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the half has never yet been told.
Well, amen. So good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Exciting things for today. Looking forward to having Brother Korn with us. And I kind of gave kind of his bio down here. He grew up at Central Baptist Church in Ponca City with Brother Waterloo, and he'd go to Sagmont Camp and saw my dad do his illusions and everything, and that's what he wanted to do. And so he is full-time on the road, and he goes to schools and does a customized show for them, and then he goes to churches. But he's been in over 615 public schools in 32 states, and over 185,000 kids have seen him. And so Lord's blessing him, Lord's using him, and so please pray for him. But we'll have him all day today. We'll have pizza for everybody after the morning service, then he'll do a show or a service this afternoon from 1 to 2:30, and then he'll be preaching for us tonight. So I hope you'll stick around, come back, and be with us, and pray for him. The devil likes to, the devil knows the next generation. He needs to get to that next generation. So please pray for him. But looking forward to having him all day today. You notice we got rid of some pews. And if you want a pew or two or three or four or a dozen, let me know. We are getting rid of them. Hopefully they'll be gone next week. Tomorrow we're going to have a fellowship. We're going to have a rip up carpet and pew removal fellowship. Man, all of you look so happy. Sister Bully, you'll be here? Sister Lynn? She's going, huh? You'll be here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, we need some help this week. And if you can help us, please come and help. We really need to get things done this week, because our chairs should be here, not this week, but next week. And the carpet, we had a little snag. We're supposed to get it this next week, and they said, well, we don't have enough, so the manufacturer's going to have to make it, and that means it'll be shipped the next week, which we are not sure, can't promise you when it will be there, so pray with us about that. God knows what color we need and everything. He knows where it's at, so please pray with that, but if you'd like to come and help, please do so. Check with me, and that'd be great. Wednesday night church, back in God's house. Saturday bus visitation, Operation Saturation, and then we're really going to start gearing up for our 70th anniversary service. We'll tell you more about that. Looking forward to that. So, and there are some prayer requests on the back that please pray for. It's good to have Brad Newman with us. We need to pray for him and the rest of you. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. And I am serious about, if you want a pew, you can have one. If you know anybody that wants one, I think we're selling them for $25. Is that right, Rita? $20, $25? $10? Okay. But anyway, if you want one, see me, and we'll. The chairs are free. I mean, the pews are free to our church members, but we charge $500 to deliver. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. If you want one, please let me know, and we will deliver it to you for free, and you can have it. One of the businesses in the Delano, they're going to set up a coffee shop. Is that right, Miss Lori? Coffee shop, and they bought four? Five, and they're going to put them on the sides. And so when that takes place, whenever I get sentimental, I guess I'll go in there and sit on them and reminisce, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, but thank you for being in the Lord's house. Looking forward to the day. And just thank you for your giving. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. And looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Moyer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, again, we want to say we love you. And God, we thank you for the privilege to have church today without any interference from the government and without having to go under, be in silence. But God, I pray that you might bless today as the word of God shines forth from this place. Help our church to continue to be a lighthouse for the gospel, for the truth. Pray that you might bless our dear people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Looks like we got you all on the right side of the auditorium. So, is that right side? I guess that's my right. Yeah, it's right. Okay. So, good to be with you here this morning in our adult Sunday school class. And today we're going to be looking in the book of Luke. That's where we've been studying. And today we're going to go into chapter 4. Chapter 4 in the book of Luke. And we're going to look at the temptation here. Satan comes and he tempts the Lord. There's a lot of things to be said about this, and we're going to get into it. Normally, you know, I like to wear ties that say God's is well with my soul. I got a tie that says that, and I like to have a message on it. Well, today I got pineapples. There's a message in this, this is a very special tie to me. This is a tie that my daughter bought me to wear to the funeral of my granddaughter, and Ashley, she loved pineapples, and she had pineapples everywhere. I had the privilege of staying in her room while I was there, but she had pineapple bedspread. She had pineapples on the wall on her on that, and she had stuffed pineapples. She just loved pineapples. And I asked her, of course, my grandpa has to know these things. What in the world is this pineapple thing about? And she's all, Grandpa, that's great. She said, it's something I use in my Sunday school class when I teach. She went to church and in Indiana there, but she said, I'd like to use that as a teaching aid. And she says, I always have a pineapple. And she says, that reminds me of a Christian. This is a picture of a Christian. Christian has armor on. Then she would teach about the armor of God. And then not only that, one day we're going to have a crown. And of course, the pineapple has a crown on top. But she said the real good thing is it's sweet inside, and that's the way we should be. So when you see this tie and not see any verses on it, there's a verse there somewhere. There's lots of verses in that. But anyway, I just thought I'd wear it today to remind me of her. So it's been a year since she died there on the campus of her school when she walking, and of course, February is winter, and so there's ice all over the place. She was going to class in a hurry because she never was on time. Now, she always liked to be on time, 15 minutes early. She said, you got to be there 15 minutes early. But she was running a little later than she thought, slipped on the ice, hit her head, and Lord took her home. And so, there's a story in the pineapple. So when you see a pineapple, you can remember there's a lot to it. It can talk about the armor of God, talk about the crowns we receive, and then it also talks about the Christian being sweet on the inside. And we need to remember to do that. This morning, we're going to be talking about the Lord here and the temptation that comes his way. We talked about the baptism in several lessons on the baptism and the meaning of it and these things. But right, the Bible says in chapter 4, Luke chapter 1, or excuse me, chapter 4, verse 1 says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned unto to Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And so we learned in the Lord's baptism that God the Father was there and the Holy Spirit was there. God the Father told him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit, we see here after that, led him into the wilderness. There's a couple of other places in the Gospels that talks about this particular happening of the temptation. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, Luke's chapter 4, and also Matthew's chapter 4. So if you ever think about the temptation, chapter 4 is the place to go. Chapter 4 in Luke and Matthew. And it says there, and it says, "And when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted of the devil." And then it also is found in the book of Mark. And we said that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels. They kind of talk about the same things. But let's look at Mark's gospel. This is the shortest of the temptation talking of it. And it says, after the baptism, it said in verse 11, it says, "Came to pass the voice from heaven said that thou art my Son in whom I'm well pleased." The next verse says, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." That's the shortest version right there of the temptation. But you know, there's something to think about as we look at the temptation. Here in this time, the Lord has been at baptism, and there's victory in that, and the Holy Spirit and Father were with him. It was in a strong time. You know, temptation comes to us sometimes in our weakest times, and we'll see in this temptation there's some things that happen here. But one of the things is, we got the word tempted. He was tempted. And there's many definitions of the word tempted. And one of them talks about is the question of many people have asked the question, how can the Lord be tempted? He's God. And one of the meanings of temptations is to be seduced or to be led astray. Now that can only happen to a person that can be tempted of evil and be able to yield to evil. But the temptation here, this word in this temptation, is a different kind of meaning, and it talks about the word means to test. And to test means to bring to trial and examination. He was tempted. When Satan came to the Lord, we'll notice here in Luke's gospel, it says, read a little bit further, it says in verse 3, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made into bread." We're looking at these three temptations today a little bit. But there was a temptation that he questioned who he was. Now, the devil knew exactly who he was. He knew who he was. Matter of fact, I think it's in Barnes' notes that he said there, when the devil questioned, the question wasn't if you are the Son of God. He said, because you're the Son of God, and was tempting him in his in who he was. So the devil here comes to him and says, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." And so they're in that temptation. So he was illustrating here. Go back to where I was reading here of this. It means is a test. And that's what was really going on here was a test to see who he was. And because he was tempted by the devil, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, he tells us there, and you know, I just realized I forgot my notes. One set of my notes. I left them at home. I can't believe it. But anyway, I have this one memorized, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. Temptation is something that is real to each and every one of us. All of us are tempted, and so in this temptation, though, as the Lord here is being tempted, we need to look at it as he is being tested to see if he can withstand the things. Matter of fact, I read an illustration, and I thought this was a good one. As the United States was moving west, of course, we know the train became a means of getting out to the west and different things. And as they were going through Colorado, imagine why, but there were some bridges that were built that had to be built and pretty strong in canyons and different things. And many people, they built a large bridge. I can't remember where I read it was around, but there was a very large bridge, and trains were to go across it. And everybody looked at it and said, no, they're not going to ride across that thing. It looks like it could fall. It looks like it could break. It would look like it would easily break. And so the engineers and all those that figured out how to build this bridge studied it and looked it over and checked it and tested it, examined it, made sure that it was going to be strong. And then they took a train of engines. That's just not one engine. Several engines, a train length, whatever they thought it might be, and they moved that across that bridge time and time again, back and forth, and they proved that it would hold. That's exactly what the temptations here of the Lord, we need to look at them in that way. God is proving to us how good, how strong he is. Let's look in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 here first. Chapter 10 of Hebrews says, I think verse 8, above when he saith to the sacrifice and the offering, the burnt offering, and the sin, for sin, thou wouldest not, neither didst thou please therein, which we offered by the law. And they were offering sin by the law. It says in verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. All they had in the first, they brought their burnt offerings and sacrifices, and that would roll the sin up. But he says, I've come to establish a second, something stronger than the offerings of the Old Testament. He was going to offer himself by that, verse 10 says, by which will we be satisfied through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. So he said it was stronger, it was better, and he, as we can examine it, and that's what the book of Hebrews does, is examine how powerful the Lord was, and was able, he was God, and he was tested in these things, and we can find also in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, talking about the Lord, that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace in the time of need. So he's telling us he's stronger. That's what the temptations here in Luke chapter 4 and in Matthew are proving, that that God, not it wasn't that he was being tempted, that he ever could yield to sin, because he was God. And we know that because John's gospel tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we have the Lord showing us in these temptations that he's stronger than being able to yield to sin. Now, we need to remember that temptation is not sin. We're all tempted. The Bible plainly tells us that we're going to be tempted. Satan is going to come and to try us. And matter of fact, we can learn some things about temptation and in these things and be aware. And we need to be aware that Satan is alive and well, and he will try to tempt us to sin. He does it every day to every one of us. There's no, like I said, in 1 Corinthians, it says that we're all tempted. We're all tempted. And so we need to realize, we need to be aware of that so we can fight against the devil. We know here as we look through these that the Lord had a way, showed us a way to fight the devil. And that's he quotes scripture here in a few places. We'll get into that in just a minute. But Satan often takes advantage of us. And what we need to realize, he takes advantage of us when we've had a high moment, when we had the victory, and we know that God gave us the victory. Satan will then come after that and try to tempt us in some little way. And as this first temptation here, we learn that the Satan comes to him. And he realizes he's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He has not eaten. He knows that being in the flesh, being the Son of God, that his body is beginning to hunger. Not maybe beginning to hunger. He may have been really hungry. I don't know. But he's God. And so he came to him with a temptation. Now, just as this simple temptation, remember, God does the same thing God never tempts us. Let's go back to James, and it shows you there that God never tempts us in evil. It's only Satan. So Satan comes and he tempts him he knows that he's in a weak moment physically. Physically, here's a weak moment. We all have weak moments physically. I have times when there's some weak moments. Some days that I don't even feel like getting out of bed. I try to do it anyway, but anyway, you really feel physically weak. And here the Lord in his physical condition was weak. And Satan knew that he was hungry. And the devil comes to him and says, "If thou be the Son of God, you can prove it to me right here. If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And of course, we know that the Lord replies in verse 4, chapter 4, Luke. Here it says, "And Jesus answered, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God." And so we look at that, and he came back with a scripture. And that particular scripture is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I think it is. Let me see if I can find it on my one of my notes here. These notes here are a little bit on the small side. Yeah, I was right. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And the thing is, see, I had my notebook, and I had it all written in big letters so I wouldn't have to go to this page here, because I can't read that one. That's too small print. Anyway, Deuteronomy. That's like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All And I put a lot of nice tabs in my Bible so that I'd be able to turn to things today. Actually worked on that this week, so I'd have tabs there, but not this one. So anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And so it's God's word helps us to live. It's God's word that we need. And the Lord, of course, the Lord Jesus knew that. He knew exactly what he was going to tell Satan. And I think this is one important thing, that we hide the word of God in our heart for one reason, that when Satan comes along, we have something in our hearts and in our lives to be able to combat and to tell him, "Thus saith the Lord." It makes a difference. When the Bible says, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, James. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And so we need to remember, we need to watch our eyes, the things that we see and those things. And here, the Lord, he was tempted of Satan. And Satan, so Satan always takes the advantage in our circumstances. And remember that. When we get into circumstances, we put ourselves in places that we can be tempted. Guarantee you, you'll be tempted. Satan's going to come along and he's going to tempt you. Sometimes simple things that we go through. Recently, I decided I would start dieting. And I decided to try a carb diet. And, you know, 30 carbs a day, that's where you start out. And actually, I got my diet up a little bit better. I'm more carb capable than I used to be. I had to get it down to 30 carbs to lose some weight. But after you lose 42 pounds, I'm not losing anymore because I'll blow away. It's hard to stand up there in the wind now. But anyway, temptation comes your way. We're all tempted. And, we have just, there's a couple of times where I have seen something that my wife maybe has brought in. She don't do that because I do the shopping most of the time. But anyway, I have bought something I probably shouldn't have bought. And of course, I buy it because I think, oh, my wife will like this. You know, she'll eat. But anyway, I had some cookies and stuff that I not on my diet. And I got some spaghetti. And I thought, you know, of course, spaghetti is not, you know how many carbs are in spaghetti? I won't tell you that. But anyway, get this stuff. I thought, man, I'm hungry. I'm going to make this spaghetti. I'm tempted. I know that's a temptation for me. And I'm glad that I'm able to recognize it. And I can say, no, Lord, I'm not going to eat this. But Satan comes along and says, but you can eat it. You can eat it. Just don't eat so much. Then, you know, if you cut it down, if this is 43 carbs and I can't have but 30 carbs, that means I can eat this much of it and still have my 30 carbs in, you know. I tried to do that. That doesn't work. That's Satan working in my head, telling me I can do something that I should not do, okay? And we're tempted. And that's a dumb little temptation. I've had more temptations than that. And Satan has come along, and he has told me some things. I remember very clearly, and I probably said this too many times, but I'll tell you again. Back after I had gotten saved, I was out working with my dad, and we were really out. And it was a hot summer, hot summer day. And my dad always in the garage, his refrigerator in there was filled with beer. I knew it was there. And I was hot. My mouth was so dry. I came in, I said, oh, I can get me a good cold beer. That will really taste good. And I, go up to the refrigerator. And then you know what happened? I said, Lord, you're going to supply a way that I can escape. The verse came in my mind. There's a way to escape. And I said, I don't see an escape here. Lord, where's the escape? My mom walks in the door. And I said, thank you, Lord. Now, I'm not going to drink this in front of her, because I've already told her I'm not drinking this stuff anymore. Before I got saved, I was really having a problem with that stuff. God brought into my heart a verse of scripture. There's no temptation taking you, but says it's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And guess what? He did it. He proved it to me. He brought my mother in there, and I could not take that beer even out of the refrigerator. I didn't even open the door. I just walked back and went back again and said, I need a drink of water. So I went inside and got a drink of water. But the temptation, it comes. And I'll tell you, that's not the only time I've ever been tempted and things. I'm tempted every day. Temptation comes your way. All kinds of thoughts, they come in your mind. Satan is there to use those thoughts and to cause us to fall. But God says, remember the scriptures. Man shall not live by bread alone. He says, but by every word of God. So the more of God's word we have in our hearts, the easier it is for us to fight temptations that come our way. I can tell you at times at work when things came in and temptation come my way. There's times when I was in meetings. I know for sure that I wanted to stand for something that was right. And because of everybody else's conversations and everything, I didn't make my voice made known. And I felt bad. God tempts us, Satan tempts us in many ways. We're tested. I believe that God can look at that as a test to us to see if we're going to defeat the devil. And so here we find that Jesus, he tells him, it is written that, and we read it in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 there, and it said that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word every word of the word of God. And then, of course, the devil doesn't stop. This is another thing we need to realize. The devil won't stop. He's not going to give up. Matter of fact, the last part of this part when Satan is tempting the Lord, in verse 13 of chapter 4, it says this. He's not going to stop. He said, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. He's going to tempt him again in other places, and I may not show it to you today. We're running kind of out of time, but we'll see in other places, in other ways. He had people come up and ask him questions. He had even his disciple questioned Peter. Thinking about Peter here, it came to him and said, "You're not going to go to the cross. You're not." After when the Lord had told them that he was going to die, Peter comes and says, "Oh no, Lord, you won't do that." And Jesus turns to him and says, "Get thou behind me, Satan." He recognized who he was. And sometimes people that we can talk to and different things, they can be used of Satan to tempt us to change our mind, to not seek God's help. And in the next temptation here, in verse 5, it says, "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me." Now, a lot of people question, did he really have the power? Was this a legitimate temptation? Yes, it was. Power. The Bible tells us that Satan is the power of the air. Okay? He is the one that lives in the world today. He is the one that gives us so much problems. We'll look at other verses of that later when we get to it. As he tempts the Lord here, and the devil said, "All this power will I give thee." He's willing to give him something. And so here we see Satan trying to do actually a couple of things to the Lord here. And one of them is he's trying to tempt him. Tempt him. His temptation here is to not have to go to the cross of Calvary. He can have it all himself. One of the biggest temptations he's doing here, it says, "And the devil said unto him, All this is given unto me." He said, "To whomsoever," and he said, "And to whomsoever I will give it, if thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And so he tells him, "You can have all of this if you just do the one thing that Satan wanted back in Isaiah chapter 7. One thing that Satan wanted. He wanted to rise above the throne of God. He was the devil. And that's just exactly what he's asking him to do here. Bow down before me. Worship me. That's what Satan has always wanted. He wanted God to be under him. And so we see this is one of the reasons why the devil is making this temptation here. But of course, Jesus, being God, knows he has all power. He has the things that he's talking about, the world and all this. There is a way to get that. There's a way that he is going to do it, but he's going to do it God's way. And, you know, a lot of times in our lives when Satan comes to us and gives us a little bit of a different way out, oh, this is a good thing. Do that. He'll show us something that's good maybe, you know, I was thinking of the auditorium here. There's a lot of things that we could do and maybe different ways of getting money for the building program. I remember years ago when I was in Bible college, the church was going through, actually our church building was so small, we had to move to another one. And so we were trying to figure out how are we gonna get a down payment on this church over here. And somebody had came up with an idea that we could borrow the money if certain ones of us who were on the trustees signed a note and borrowed the money. But it really was not the way to go about it, because God will take care of things, and God did take care of the situation and everything. But I found myself thinking, I'll just sign a note. I can do that. I know I can make this payment. Well, it cost me. It cost me because I looked at something. I wanted to do something good, but it was going to cost me way more than I realized. And that's what sin does to us. It takes you further than you want to go, keeps you there longer than you wanted to stay, and doesn't allow you to get free from it. And so that kind of reminded me as he's got something good he wants to offer him, but you can't take a shortcut in it. You got to do it the right way. But several of us that weren't really smart signed a note, and we ended up paying for that. And the church, we got the church all right, and the church is still going today, Grace Bible Baptist Church there in Springfield, Missouri. And the church is doing good and everything. God used it, but God also taught us some lessons. And sometimes that's what happens. So you're tested. And the Lord here, it was a legitimate offer that Satan was giving him. But all he had to do was worship him. And you know, of course, he's talking to God. Now, Jesus is God himself. And Jesus turns to him and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He says, "You're behind me. Get thee behind me. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve." And Satan, you're going to serve me. You're going to do my service. And he said, he refused to worship him. One reason why is he knew what God's plan was. He knew what his Father had sent him to the earth to do. He was going to go to an old rugged cross. I imagine that he knew what the future was going to be like. He knew what it was going to be like in Gethsemane. He knew that Satan would be back at that time and trying to tempt him to ask God to let it pass by. And all these things, Satan was going to be tempting. But yet, he went to the cross of Calvary and did the Father's plan. And because he did the Father's plan, the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And so the Lord was able to combat Satan. But we find out Satan has one more attack. It's too late to do it today, but we'll look at it next week when he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. And this is an interesting temptation here. He went from wanting him to worship him, but if he thought if I could still get him to do something that's in the scriptures, next time he's going to use the script, Satan's going to use the scriptures on the Lord instead of letting the Lord use the scriptures on him. And so we'll look at that next week. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful. We're thankful for all you've done for us. We're thankful for your grace, your mercy, your love, your blessings that you show us every day. We're thankful we have a great God that loves us. We pray, Lord, that you just help us to honor you, to glorify you, to bless your holy name and ask, Lord, that you be with us today. I pray that you be with the preaching hour. I pray that you be with Brother Korn. Give him the words to say that we might see souls saved. Lord, we might see your honor and glory today, that you be glorified in all the things we do. We ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen.